All right. Good morning. My name is Nivi Nakra, and I serve as the Director of Education and Advocacy with the Immunization Partnership. And we are a statewide effort committed to the eradication of vaccine-preventable diseases through education, advocacy, and the promotion of immunization information systems. Today I'm going to be talking a little bit about some stakeholder assessments that we did in 2008 and 2010, the purpose of which was to empower Texas immunization stakeholders to advocate on behalf of positive immunization policy. Over the past several years, immunization rates in Texas have steadily increased. In 2008, 79% of two-year-old children were vaccinated or completed the 4-3-1-3-3-1 schedule, as compared to only 65% in 2002. However, many Texans are still at risk. Over the past 5 years, we've seen a startling increase in the rise and incidence of pertussis. We've also seen an increase in the number of exemptions claimed for reasons of conscience. Rates for many vaccines, including influenza, remain low. Stakeholder engagement has the power to improve the immunization delivery system by exchanging needs, identifying opportunities, and then communicating those opportunities through legislative or grassroots efforts. Using this model, the Immunization Partnership conducted an assessment in 2008 and 2010 using both qualitative and quantitative methods, including stakeholder meetings and a web-based survey. The findings were published and disseminated with foundation support, and all activities culminated in a Texas Immunization Summit where the findings were shared. The 2008 assessment successfully built a statewide network of immunization advocates who were committed to improving immunization policies. And in collaboration with those immunization advocates, the Immunization Partnership supported and helped pass several pieces of legislation. For instance, now adults can now enter information into the statewide immunization registry known as MTRAC. Texans can now share information with other states in case of an emergency. And students entering dormitories must show proof of vaccination against meningitis. An additional assessment was conducted in 2010, and objectives were expanded to not only include an opportunity to discuss and voice immunization challenges and identify priorities, but we also used it as an opportunity to share advocacy strategies and techniques that could be incorporated into day-to-day practice. The methodology for the 2010 assessment was similar to that of 2008, using town hall meetings and a web-based survey to gather feedback. The Immunization Partnership worked collaboratively with local and statewide partnerships, including the Texas Medical Association and the Texas Pediatric Society, to plan and implement these meetings. Immunization champions were identified in locations where the meetings were conducted, and participants were recruited by local champions. Some of the recruitment strategies included flyers strategically distributed, outreach during special events and meetings, and newsletter promotion. We expanded the assessment to 10 cities, both rural and urban, and this map provides a distribution of those cities. As you can see, 8 of the cities were the same between the 2008 and 2010 assessment, and in 2010 we added 2 additional cities. Over 400 people participated in 2010 meetings compared to about 125 in 2008, and participants included parents, providers, agency personnel, representatives from fire stations, hospitals, foundations and medical associations, local public health officials, and nonprofit organizations. Following the town hall meetings, we conducted a web-based survey in order to not only validate the findings from our stakeholder meetings, but to also address some additional topics which I've outlined here. Over 500 stakeholders participated in the web-based survey, representing approximately 105 towns and cities across Texas. And approximately 38% attended at least one stakeholder meeting. This chart illustrates the responsibilities of survey respondents working in a healthcare setting. Approximately 57% were healthcare providers, 42% were administrative staff, and 21% were data entry. The remaining were made up of technical support, outreach and education, and other. The findings from the assessment were published with the support of the St. David's Foundation. I have a few copies for those who'd like to browse through the publication with me. However, it's free to download from our website at www.immunizeusa.org. Several key recommendations arose from the stakeholder discussions and survey responses, which I've outlined here, and I'll spend a few minutes going over them in detail. The first of which was to modify the consent process for the immunization registry MTRAC from an opt-in model to an opt-out model. Currently, Texas is only one of five states that uses this opt-in process, which is both time-consuming and expensive. Majority of the stakeholders, approximately 84%, believe that the current process of obtaining consent or opt-in for MTRAC hinders the ability of healthcare providers to access immunization information and provide quality healthcare. The second recommendation was to link immunization information systems and health information technology, including electronic medical records. Like many states across the nation, Texas is in the process of optimizing the use of their immunization information system. Currently, the Texas Department of State Health Services is working to move their state immunization registry MTRAC to a more robust application, and so then charge the immunization partnership in gathering feedback on what types of enhancements can be included in the new registry. Now, although much of this data is state-specific, it can be transferable to other localities. So I'll just take a couple minutes on that. Approximately 88% of MTRAC users wanted to have improved data sharing between the new system, local registries, and school health record systems. 84% wanted to send immunization records from an EMR directly to the new system. 80% wanted to send a patient's consent from their EMR to the new system. 79% wanted to access immunization data in the new system directly from their EMR, and 75% wanted to use the new system to report adverse events. In addition to linking with EMR, many providers also wanted to see a system that links to other health databases, including cancer, newborn, and birth registries. Some childhood screening features that they wanted to see in the new system were tuberculosis testing, approximately 51%, newborn screening, lead screening, and body mass index. Other enhancements including improving user capabilities and user friendliness, enhancing reporting features, improving data quality, and also improving data entry capabilities. Another key recommendation was to increase healthcare worker vaccination. Nationally, vaccination coverage rates among healthcare workers remains low, and Texas stakeholders attributed the low vaccination coverage to a lack of knowledge about vaccination, disease risk, and transmission of vaccine-preventable diseases, also safety concerns, a fear of needles, inconvenience, and apathy. Interestingly, of the healthcare workers from our survey who were vaccinated, 12% chose not to get vaccinated against seasonal influenza, and of those, 26% indicated it was due to safety concerns. So one of the key recommendations is to institute mandatory vaccination and declination policies. Many facilities in Texas have done just this and have proven to be best practices. When stakeholders were asked to what extent they agree that a policy should require its healthcare workers to get a flu vaccine each year, approximately 80% agreed with the statement. Non-healthcare providers were more likely than healthcare providers to strongly agree with the statement. There's a growing minority in Texas of individuals who are vaccine hesitant and either delay vaccination or refuse vaccination entirely. Texas has reported a significant rise in the number of parents refusing vaccination due to personal belief. As you can see in this graph, in the 2005-2006 school year, approximately 7,000 exemptions were claimed due to personal belief, as compared to almost 19,000 exemptions in the 2009 and 2010 school year. Much of this has contributed to mistrust coupled with widespread misunderstanding about vaccinations. In Austin, where I work, we have very unique immunization challenges. We house a very strong anti-vaccine movement who's led by someone we all know well who resides in Austin, Andrew Wakefield. Survey data has revealed that 91% of respondents believe that misinformation or a lack of knowledge about vaccines is a somewhat or a very important barrier to increasing immunization rates. So in order to combat this barrier, stakeholders suggested working collaboratively to increase outreach and education to vaccine-hesitant individuals, ensuring that the education is customer-focused, that it illustrates the impact of non-vaccination. They also suggested working very closely with the media to profile vaccine-preventable disease stories. Our next recommendation was to support border communities. The U.S.-Mexico border is a medically underserved region with very highly pressing conditions. Historically, these cities have shown higher risk of certain vaccine-preventable diseases due to high migration, high poverty, and other conditions, which was made very apparent in the importation and the quick transmission of the H1N1 virus. So providers in this area experienced several challenges, the largest of which was a lack of documentation on patients' immunization histories, followed by misinformation or lack of knowledge about vaccines among families, concerns about having their records in MTRAC with the fear of being deported, a lack of access to immunization providers, and poor immunization compliance and limited resources, as was shown recently in the H1N1 pandemic. So Border City providers suggested that in order to support these communities, we need to have improved coordination across the border with respect to emergency preparedness and planning. We need to explore opportunities to share data between Texas and Mexico and also encourage better documentation in our immunization state registry, MTRAC. H1N1 was a challenge for all of us. Like many of you, our providers in Texas experienced vaccine shortages and delays, a lack of accurate and timely communication, uncoordinated distribution and confusion over priority groups, specifically who should get it and who shouldn't, a lack of education about the disease itself and the vaccine and the benefits of vaccination, and where to access the vaccine. Of our stakeholder survey, 32% chose not to get vaccinated against H1N1, and of those, 45% indicated it was due to vaccine safety concerns. So when asked how to improve the preparedness process, many providers wanted to see improved coordination between federal, state, and local government with respect to supply, distribution, and response planning. They also wanted to ensure that our providers have all the resources to meet any on-the-ground responses. And they wanted to see more optimization in use of the immunization information system. Now, with the advent of new and expensive vaccines hitting the market, and the push for managed care to reduce costs, there's a lot of concern that providers will stop administering vaccinations and, as a result, reduce access to critical vaccinations, something that we're seeing in some rural communities in Texas. In our survey, 79% believe that issues related to vaccine cost or reimbursement are a somewhat or a very important barrier to increasing immunization rates. One stakeholder indicated, "We want to vaccinate, we just can't afford to pay for it with such minimal payments from the insurance companies," and so decided to stop vaccinating his patients. Approximately 82% believe that lack of provider participation in a vaccines for children program is a somewhat and very important barrier to increasing immunization rates. So recommendations included instituting local advocacy efforts and sharing best practices with respect to billing, third-party payer negotiation, and purchasing powers, and also increasing participation in the vaccines for children program by marketing it to both parents and providers as a gold standard. According to our stakeholders, adults do not get vaccinated due to a lack of awareness, high cost, and limited access to adult vaccines. So as a result, our stakeholders made three major recommendations. Educate our providers. Provide them with referral sources on where adults can access vaccinations. Ensure that they're knowledgeable on the new and existing recommendations. We need to educate our adult patients. We need to encourage them to incorporate vaccination into their comprehensive preventive care plans. And finally, we need to increase access by broadening our pool of providers who can administer vaccines, recruiting alternative providers, and also collaborating more closely with high-risk adult populations like STD, drug treatment, violence prevention, jails. Like many states, Texas has seen a rise in the number of pertussis cases. In 2009, over 3,000 cases were reported, as compared to 954 cases in 2006. Stakeholders agree that in order to stem the rising tide of pertussis cases, we need to leverage existing proven strategies like cocooning. Now, some facilities have instituted cocooning efforts in Texas and have done very well and shown incredible impact of this program. However, many stakeholders were still unfamiliar with this novel concept and encouraged more sharing of best practices, specifically how to design and implement these processes. All of our findings culminated in our Texas Immunization Summit, where over 250 participants were in attendance. We had experts from the Texas Department of State Health Services, the CDC, the Global Alliance for Vaccine and Immunization. All were represented to discuss key priority areas, as I mentioned above, and to share their recommendations. How did we use our findings in the partnership? For legislative action, we developed our legislative priorities in our platform for 2011, many of which are under consideration for this session. Three bills have already been filed that address some of our key priorities, one of which is modifying the immunization registry from an opt-in to an opt-out process, requiring healthcare facilities to implement policies for healthcare worker vaccination, and also requiring providers to provide pertussis education in order to stem the rising case of pertussis and improve and educate individuals about the Tdap vaccination. We also secured funding for a coalition technical assistance project where we intend to build capacity of local immunization coalitions by equipping them with the skills and tools needed to conduct legislative and grassroots advocacy and education efforts. We plan to continue our stakeholder engagement activities and identify opportunities and disseminate those findings to those involved. Two key lessons learned: an evidence-informed process that incorporates collaboration and engagement is effective in identifying priorities and generating recommendations. And stakeholders are active contributors to program and policy development. They have a vested interest and they want to be involved. A strong understanding of their potential challenges and opportunities are key when improving immunization delivery. Thank you, and I look forward to questions.